You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Shari Mendelson. She's talking to me from Brooklyn. Shari, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me, Brainerd.
Shari, I know you're a very busy artist. A show just came down in the Netherlands. Tell me a little bit about what you're working on at the moment. What's happening in your studio?
Right at the moment, I'm kind of working in three different places on three different things. So I'm working on some larger vessels, and for me, larger is like 24 to 30 inches. So I've been working on one of those that I've been working on for a while, and then I'm working on this kind of half horse carrying a vessel, little figurative sculpture, and then these really tiny ones that are about like 6 to 8 inches. So I'm kind of working on all of them at the same time.
And what's the medium for these? I mean, I know a little bit about the medium, but you're using resin. And can you tell me a little bit about how they're built? Because I know there's a number of materials you're using. And they look like, to me, almost like glass, right? Isn't that the appearance that they have?
Yeah, they do. They usually look like glass. Usually people think they are glass. Sometimes they look like terracotta, but usually there's some translucency. I keep the translucency, so they usually do look, you know, very glassy. But they're all made from parts of recycled bottles. So I collect a lot of bottles, plastic bottles, you know, juice bottles, soda bottles, water bottles. And I cut them up and I hot glue them back together. And then, as you mentioned, I use different kinds of resins and acrylic polymers over them, and that kind of gives them the color and the patina and helps to hold them together and kind of messes with the plastic quality, so they get really transformed.
So that's just so interesting. Let's talk a little bit more about that process, and then I want to talk about form and content a little bit. But it's such an interesting process that mixes, to me, different materials. So you're hot gluing pieces together, and then when they're coated with resin, that also, depending on whether there's plastic involved, but how does the resin then interact with the hot glue and other materials that then does something else chemically to it or physically?
Well, when I say resins, what I'm using is usually I'm using something called Magic Smooth or Magic Sculpt. And they're both like a two-part. The Magic Smooth, you can mix with your hands, so it's kind of like a clay. And you can touch it, and it doesn't get hot. So it's not like a resin that goes through a chemical process. So it doesn't really, it interacts fine with the plastic and the hot glue. So, you know, with some resins, they go through a heating process and then it would become a big old mess. But in this case, it doesn't. So it's all pretty stable. And the Magic Smooth and the Magic Sculpt and then the acrylic polymers all help to hold everything together, because eventually the hot glue breaks down, but the these other materials, you know, make the forms really strong, as well as giving the surface, making it matter, shiny, or changing the color, because I mix pigments in with the different resins and polymers.
So when you're mixing pigments in, these are powdered pigments that you mix in with the resins as you're combining all the materials.
Yeah, I've done a bunch of different things. Sometimes I've used like watercolors, and I've used dyes and glitter, and lately I've been using mica powders, because I like that they have, they come in thousands of colors, and the colors are just gorgeous. The mica powders that I'm using are made for the makeup industry, so they're, they come in great colors, and some of them have an iridescence or a shine to them, and so I mix that in with the resins or with, you know, acrylic polymers like gel medium, and so it kind of gives it like almost like a glaze-like coating.
It's fascinating. I mean, part of the reason I'm asking all this about process is I'm interested, of course, but also what your rendering and all of these are kind of jewel-like objects that have all these kind of, they seem almost to be, I don't think glowing is the right word, but sometimes iridescent, and the translucence of the material allows light to go through it, which allows them to glow a little bit, don't they?
Yeah. Depending on how they're lit, they do. They can glow from within. Sometimes they get so densely worked, some of them, that they no longer have that translucency. But most of them retain some of that, or I try and retain it usually, because I like that kind of mysterious quality that you really don't know. Like, you, even if they're don't have a lot of color or have a matte surface, you might think it's terracotta, yet it's translucent, so you can't really tell. And I like it when one doesn't really have any idea what they're made out of. And then also the parts of the plastic, like as I'm sitting here, I'm looking at a piece, the larger piece that I've been working on, and it's all constructed from the bottom sections of bottles, like plastic juice bottles or vitamin water bottles. And so it's like a rosette pattern, like a flower pattern. So that then refracts the light in an interesting way. And the plastic that we, you know, consume and then toss or hopefully recycle, there's so many beautiful patterns in there and beautiful shapes and forms, and that's pretty much what I'm playing with when I'm building these structures.
So let's talk about those shapes and forms a little bit. You know, you talked about you're working on larger vessels and also tiny ones and mid-size work. Let's talk a little bit about what you're working on there. We could talk about work that's been in previous shows, but let's
it's
talk
kind
about
of a continuum. They're kind of a continuum, and some of them take a really, really long time. So some of these larger pieces that I'm working on, I had started a while ago and then put aside because I was working on some other things. So I'm always picking things up and, you know, or even just like picking up pieces that I thought were done and reworking them. What was your question? What am I working on now? Or where
yeah,
the
in,
come the, from?
In,
I can't
in
remember.
The forms, yeah, the forms themselves, because in a way, you know, I mean, you said it's a continuum, which makes sense to me that you've been working on forms like this, vessels and objects that seem symbolic in a number of ways, or seem almost like they could be, you know, archaeological remnants or artifacts, of course, as has been used in exhibitions. So, the forms that you're working on, what are they? I know the larger ones are vessels.
The larger ones are vessel-like shapes, as are these really tiny ones. And the mid-size are, the one I'm working on now is an animal that has a vessel on its back. And a lot of the forms are kind of riffs on ancient art. So as I'm sitting here talking with you, I'm flipping through a book of that's called Glass from Islamic Lands, and it's a book of just these amazing glass objects, a lot of them are Syrian and Iranian, and they're just, you know, amazingly gorgeous things. So I'm looking at those, and it's not that I copy the forms, but I have absorbed some of these forms, and sometimes I look to them for reference, and sometimes I start with that, and then it goes off in its own direction. But that's often the forms start with either pieces at the Metropolitan or other museums, or, you know, from images that I've seen in books or travels.
And so when you're using this, I mean, that makes sense. Is there a lot of these, of course, have that you're looking at have, at the time they were made, I would imagine, all kinds of symbolic meaning, that they seem to be loaded with meaning. Is that part of what you're researching when you look at this, or does that part matter that much to you?
Yeah, you know, I think what's one of the things that's interesting to me is that sometimes when I look at some pieces, they'll say, you know, this was a symbolic piece, but they don't really have any idea what it was used for. So I like that mystery in not knowing. And then also I like knowing that some of these were just like an everyday, you know, holder for oil or water or perfume. Or so some of them were just some of the things that I'm looking at were just the domestic objects of, you know, everyday mold-blown glass, you know, objects that most people had in their homes. And then some of them are the very decorative pieces that actually weren't used but were based on utilitarian pieces. So there's a whole variety, and, yeah, I find it fascinating to try and research, like, what the purpose of some of the pieces that I'm looking at were. And honestly, I often don't find that much information other than, like, this was used for holding perfume, or this was probably used, you know, was traded. So there's these different there is information, but there isn't an awful lot about what the uses are.
It's very interesting because it seems to me that, you know, as collectors have these in their homes, I would think, you know, owning some of these objects would make me feel, maybe not so much the vessels, but more the tiny ones, things that are figurative. They seem to be almost like talismans. And then, as you're saying, you know, there's not that much information to even find on these. But when you're looking at them, when you're making these, I mean, like any artist pulling from different worlds or different imagery, are there associations that you make with them? I mean, when I see some of these, they look like they could be they could help with healing something, or symbolic of an achievement, or anything that I'm really kind of making up. But
when I'm making them, one of the things that I really enjoy about when I'm making my work is that there are so many different associations. So sometimes, like, I'm looking at this piece that's like a figure, but then the way it's a figure, but then it's a horse and it's holding a vessel. But then the way the arms are, I realize that, you know, isn't at all related to the actual piece that I was looking at. So there's all these different associations from different times and pieces that I've seen, you know, art historical pieces that I've seen, and some of them have one meaning or something else might have another meaning, and it all kind of coalesces, I guess, in a way. And one of the things I also really like about when I'm making these pieces, I'm thinking about, like, well, who made this piece, and who, like, the original piece, you know, who originally made that piece and who originally owned that piece. So I love it when you see paintings or mosaics and they have vessels in them, like in a domestic space, so you could actually see what some of these objects that we see in museums, like what their setting was like. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's
that
always really interesting to me.
Yeah. And, I mean, considering that, right, it's also context, I would imagine, of where these are shown and who's seeing them. I mean, of course, they're in art galleries, but you're in Brooklyn, you've shown in New York, you've shown in Europe. Is there a different reception in different places for these works? Because of that, because of the kind of meaning they carry, or no, or is there a different conversation in other places as opposed to the United States?
I don't really know. The work was just at the Tafelhof Art Fair in the Netherlands, but I didn't go, so I don't really know what the reception was there. It was positive, but I wasn't there to have the conversation. I can't really speak to that. I mean, it seems like whether people are really familiar with art history or not, they do seem to make that connection to the work and, you know, get the sense of the art historical source, even if they don't know exactly what that is.
Right. And so to go back to the pieces you're making, the larger vessels, and you said you're making tiny ones too, and mid-size. Are the larger vessels are are vessels. These are objects that look like they could hold water or flowers or something like that. Is that correct?
For the most part, yeah. They look like they could. I don't think they really can because, like I said, they're, you know, basically hot glued together and they probably would end up leaking. But, yeah, they do look like it.
And the tiny ones and mid-sized ones, are those more figurative in some ways, or are the mid-sized ones more vessels?
Right now what I'm working on, yes, I have done all of those, but right now what I'm working on, I just started just recently making these really small ones from these little, like, single-serving little Coke bottles. And I was interested in making these, one, because my work is really, really slow. And by making these smaller pieces, I thought, oh, I could make things much faster, and then I could experiment more with the surfaces and kind of work out some ideas for the surfaces before I start putting these surfaces on big ones, because usually I just, like, you know, jump right in and try things out and they don't work, and then I'm in the midst of it and I'm trying to, you know, pull together a surface or respond to the surface that I get. But sometimes it's, you know, it's kind of a, you know, like making a painting, or sometimes it's, you know, it can be an arduous process where it looks horrible, and then it gets better, and then it gets horrible. So I thought maybe I could work out some of these ideas on a really tiny scale. I can't really say if that's working or not, but that was my idea in starting these, like, because I realized I just keep working, and then I don't know if I'd ever be able to recreate what I just did. So I don't really think it's going to work as a sample kind of idea, although that was
the idea. And what will happen with these? Are these bound for a particular show? Are you thinking of an exhibit while making all of these, or no?
No, I'm not really thinking of an exhibit. I felt like last year was a really busy year, and I had a lot of work out, and these will get shown, but right now I'm just trying to put together a new body of work. And like I said, it's part of the continuum, so it's not like, okay, that's done, and now I'm starting this. Usually, it's more of a slower process that I picked up where I was, and then I wanted to increase the scale of some, so some are getting bigger, and then I wanted to add more color or more intense color, so I'm experimenting more with color. A lot of my last shows I've had, a lot of the work was very, very muted or, very almost just like white, hardly any color at all, so I've been playing with more color. So, I mean, that's the way I like to work. I prefer to just work in the studio and have a body of work and then show it. I don't really like working for shows because that makes me nervous. So I'd rather just be able to, you know, have a wide variety of things to choose from, realizing that some of them are, you know, going to be dogs probably.
Right. Well, it also seems that in some ways, I mean, I would imagine having them all assembled, and maybe this is a reach for me, but that some of the smaller ones especially, and I guess as well as the vessels, but particularly the figurative ones, would seem that they're almost having a kind of dialogue with each other.
That is definitely true. I just keep... Yeah, I've been looking at these new things that I'm making and then putting them with some older pieces and, you know, trying to figure out, like, what I like about one or what I like about the other. And then some are, you know, really going off in some, for me, odd, weird new directions. And but they do seem to be in total conversation. And then that's a conversation that's kind of crossing cultures and time periods, because it's like this sort of partially Egyptian horse talking to like a Syrian winged horse, there's these these conversations across time periods, and across forms.
Fascinating. So let me ask you the last question now. What are you reading at the moment? I'm always curious.
Well, I just finished reading Ninth Street Women by Mary Gabriel, which is about Lee Krasner, Elaine de Kooning, Grace Hartigan, Joan Mitchell, and Helen Frankenthaler. And it was fascinating. It's it's just so interesting to find out, like, just how challenging life. I mean, you know that life was challenging for them, and although it's based on them, it also talks about, you know, their husbands and their lovers and their friends. So just like what the art world was like in the, you know, the 30s and 40s and 50s, and you know, they were really breaking new ground, and it was so hard for them. And what the community was like at that time, and you know, people coming over from World War II and how that changed the culture. So it was a really fascinating read. And I just finished it the other day, and I picked up this book, What I Loved, by Siri Husfid. So I'm just starting that one.
It sounds fascinating. I want to thank you so much, Sharon, for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure hearing about your work.
Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.